Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 4 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 32. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right.
We kind of late.
We're late. That's okay.
Yep. Better late than never.
Yep. And we were going to be talking about the episode Me and the Devil.
Me and the Devil. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you want to start with first?
Let's start with Tommy, because that's where we left off.
Woo-wee!
Tommy! Oh, man. I love this, because every time he hit Jolie, I said, hit that sucker again. Oh, man. And when he accidentally hit Melinda Mickens.
Mama Mickens.
Yeah, I told him, hey, I was yelling at the TV, and hit that bitch too. I mean, how dare she try to jump on him?
He accidentally killed her. He didn't mean to kill her.
But she's talking about, I'll kill you, and she had a stick.
I know.
Trying to, oh, hell no. No, you should have hit her 2-3 times.
I know. She was awful for that.
She was awful.
Awful for that. Rather stay with that fool than help protect her son.
Help protect her son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought that was real good of Tommy to kind of fake like he was out, you know, because he was faking.
Yeah, had to be.
He was faking, so,
had
you
to
know.
Be. Well, I was sad when he went and...
Paris, your dog. She's all up under my chair trying to get a piece of food. Dang. Okay. Sorry, folks.
Hey, she like her mama. I'll dig for some food too, girl.
Anyway. Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
she done messed up our podcast. Go on now, Paris. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say that scene when he was getting choked, I think I said last time, was so real.
Oh, it
but
was
then,
awful.
But then, as they're fighting, you know, it was kind of fakey. But I really felt bad for him when he eventually, you know, got to Sam's house. Was like, Sam. And when Sam is driving him the bodies, and he's just crying in the front, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do?
I know.
I felt bad for him then.
I felt bad for him when he was saying, mama, when he realized that he killed her. I felt really, really sorry for him, because he didn't mean to kill her, though.
No, he didn't.
He meant to kill Jolie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he meant to kill him.
Because he was hitting him even when he was down.
Yeah. I mean, he was hitting him.
He was tearing him up.
You know, but the thing that got me about them, when he drove over to Sam's, I don't know why, but the first thing I thought was when they was driving to the swamp and Andy had started chasing him.
Yeah.
First thing I thought was, well, now, won't Andy run them plates and realize it's a stolen van? Because
Andy wasn't even doing his job right. See,
he was
that's
just sitting
the issue
there in the woods.
Andy.
Yeah. Did you notice that? He was just sitting there in the woods.
Yeah.
Hiding.
Well, that's what cops do. But what I was going to say is, he's so busy trying to run up on Sam and do something to Sam.
Yeah, why is
he's not even following the proper procedure.
No. Why is he on Sam so much, I wonder?
I don't know. I think it's just because that's who has been around when he's doing his little tweaking and stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. And did you notice how before he even got out the car, he done took some more B?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Andy's getting on my nerves. But anyway.
But when he pulled him over and was like, okay, open the back. And I was just like, Sam, I was looking like, oh, shit.
Yeah, but Tommy was in. Hey, I thought it was excellent when Tommy was in there talking about, hey, I ain't going alive. And he had that,
that
big old shovel. He was going to knock him in the throat. And then when Sam was, okay, Sam wasn't even being slow. And Andy's talking about, oh, here, I'll do it.
You know.
What was that about? Sam was putting
he's on that V. He's having them symptoms.
Yeah. That was excellent, though.
But when he opened it up and it was that big old crocodile, that was good. I was like,
that was
when he said,
excellent.
Oh, yeah, Tommy, that's great. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yep.
That is good. That is real good. And, you know, I really did like the swamp scene, though, because, you know, Tommy, though, he did kind of endear himself to you because he was, you know, he's kind of crying and whining. He says, oh, I'm gonna burn in hell. And Sam's just as calm. There ain't no hell. He says, oh, yeah, say in the Bible. He says, it says in the Bible. He said, don't kill shit and don't fuck with your parents.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. I was dying.
Don't kill shit
and don't fuck with your parents. And I done did both. I'm going to hell. Oh, that was hilarious.
That was funny.
And then when Sam told him, well, look, killing's okay when you're at war.
So weren't you at war with your parents?
Yeah, and it was self-defense.
And he was also nonchalant about killing those two people.
But did you notice how nonchalant Sam was the whole time?
Yeah,
he said, grab Jolie. And they threw him in the swamp.
Okay. Grab the other one.
Yeah. He didn't even say, okay, now mama or, you know,
that
anything.
Ain't his mama to him.
Well, no, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And Tommy just stopped and unwrapped her head and said, bye, ma, oh, mama, you know, and kissed her on the forehead. Sam just standing there like, yeah, well, okay.
Now, I was wondering, too, how they was going to have them bodies sinking down.
Oh, that was excellent.
That was pretty funny.
Excellent. When he said,
Gators like marshmallows, didn't you know? You should know that.
Yeah, no. What he said was, he said it like, you should know that, like, file that in your memory bank.
No, I'm thinking he said, you should know that because you turned yourself into one.
Oh, see, I didn't take it like that.
Yeah, because he turned himself into one.
Maybe that's what he meant. But anyway, I thought that whole scene was good.
It was.
And then when he said, well, what would you know? Because you ain't killed nobody. And Sam didn't. He didn't say nothing at first. He just kind of looked away. And he said, well, I killed two people. And he said, for what for? Stealing from me. Mm-hmm. And now Tommy know why he shot his ass in the leg. Yep. He ought to be glad he didn't shoot him in the head.
Right. He wasn't trying to kill
him. Sam don't like it when you're stealing from him now.
Oh, no, he don't. Mm. But what I was just going to say is, they haven't said yet how they're able to shift. I don't think they have, at least.
They have. Yeah, because I talked to another person about this, and that is, yes, they have, and that is this. Sam has said in the first season, when he was explaining to either Sookie or somebody about shifters, and he was saying that they have to imprint first. And as long as they have imprinted, they can change willy-nilly.
Into what? We haven't seen this imprinting process.
And, this is what Sam said. He said the creature, whatever it is, has to be near. So my question was, then how did he turn into that bull to kill Marianne in season 3?
Maybe they've had to just be around that animal sometime in their life, and then they could do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, they've been in the swamp before.
Oh, he's been around, so I'm...
Yeah. So, but I thought that was excellent, though.
Yeah, that was good.
When he switched into that gator.
I like that,
But did you
too.
Notice he had looked like he had some blood on his lip?
I know.
On the gator.
The gator did.
Yeah.
I know.
I thought, ooh.
I know, it was nasty.
Mm-hmm. That was gross. But that was a good
scene. That was good.
Tommy did a real excellent job there.
Yeah.
And once they tossed them bodies in that swamp and them gators got them, I thought good.
Well.
I did. I thought good.
I just kept thinking that Melinda Mickens would pop up.
Hell no.
I didn't really catch that she was dead until they went and threw her ass in the water.
Oh, no, because Tommy. Oh, no, no, no. When he went over to Sam's. And she laying there dead in the van? Yeah, she did.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I still thought she might pop up.
I'm glad she didn't. I'm glad they gone.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm glad that storyline is over, you know, with him fighting and stuff like that.
The dog fighting and stuff.
Yeah. That's just, real bad. Okay. Who else you want to discuss?
Let's go on to Marnie.
Okay. I'm liking Marnie.
I like Marnie, too.
She is too much. But you know what? That opening scene with Marnie this time was hilarious to me. Because, you know, of course, she was waking up. Everybody standing around mad at her.
Yeah.
And she, what happened? What happened? And they said, well, you done screwed us again. Now you got a second vampire after us.
Lafayette was funny. He's like, a hooker?
He called everybody hooker. Yeah.
I know. It was cracking me.
And then, as she was trying to explain, look, I don't know what happened. I don't even remember. It's like she took over me. Did you notice
Jesus jumped up real quick?
He jumped up and said, Possessed?
I know.
Uh-huh.
I know.
I thought to myself,
I saw that too and thinking, okay, he's scared about being possessed for some reason.
Yeah. And also, Lafayette had some funny lines because he was telling her at one point, Witchy Poo, you need to get on that little line and call up this whoever it is.
He said that is not going to help us.
That is so funny. And then when she said, well, wait a minute. Y'all just gonna leave me here in the woods? And mm-hmm. They left her.
I'd been pissed about that.
Oh, yeah, I'd been mad.
I'm like, who's gonna pick up all these damn candles and shit?
She had a bunch. She had a whole bunch.
Don't y'all know there's a drought? At least in Dallas.
She had a whole bunch of candles. But yeah,
But Marnie,
that possession and then Jesus jumping back, I thought, uh-oh.
I know. Mm-hmm. But then Marnie, you know, goes back to her goddess emporium and going about her business. And then we see Sookie, which we'll get to her later.
No,
but
you see Katie first.
No, we see Sookie
first. Oh, yeah, that's right. We see Sookie,
see Sookie first going in to get some info. And I really like that scene because she was all talkative
chit-chatty. Oh, yeah, chit-chatty.
Like, she didn't have a care in the world. Uh-huh. But you can see her, as soon as Marnie would look away, she'd look at her like, what you gonna be telling me?
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that with Sookie, though. With that whole scene.
Okay, you want to wait for that one?
Yeah.
So then the next scene we see Marnie in is with Katie.
Katie comes in.
And I'm thinking, didn't you automatically suspect that it might have been her that got that vampire to you?
No, I don't think she did because, see, Katie had been with that group for a long time.
Apparently, yeah, but, I mean, her not coming.
Well, she was scared.
She wasn't there when Eric was there.
Yeah, she was.
No, she wasn't there. She quit going. Bill said, you're not needed there anymore.
Well, I mean, for all we know, a background is maybe she called Marnie earlier that day and said, something came up. I can't make it tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, for all we know. So I didn't even give that a second thought. But I felt kind of sorry for Marnie when she was just so happy and said, you know, let me tell you something, like a secret, we're being protected. We are protected. And Katie, well, you're not.
You're not. And I was like, what the hell?
What the hell? And then Bill's security guard get her. So now, and remember, Bill had said to Sookie, she's part of my security.
Yeah.
Katie.
He did say that. But I was kind of surprised. I forgot that part, and I was kind of surprised when we see her, like, at the jail cell or whatever.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, because he said she's part of
my
security.
I really like that scene at the end with him, with her and Bill. When Marnie's in there, and she's, you know, she's scared. She's trying to figure out what's going on. And then all of a sudden, her eyes roll back, and I'm like, oh, shit, now this is freaking me out. And she has that little dream or whatever.
It's a vision.
Vision of Antonia.
Antonia and her group, their chain.
And we see that those people who are burning her in the other vision were vampires.
Right.
Vampire priests.
And evidently they had all those witches down in a little dungeon cell. And because all those witches were praying in a group. And then those priests would come in and pick, which one I want to chomp tonight. I feel like maybe some light meat tonight. And they pick that one, you know.
Yeah.
And they start chomping on her,
that
poor girl.
Yeah,
you know.
That was freaky.
And, of course, the other ones were cowering back and all that stuff.
Her facial expressions, though, when she goes in and out of the visions, she's so innocent and wide-eyed.
I know.
That's what I like. And then as soon as she gets into her possessed mode, her face totally changes.
Exactly.
Which
is
what's so cool about that character.
What I liked about her scene in the dungeon, the part I liked the best about it actually was Bill. Because he was cracking me up when he... First of all, I was real surprised when they had all them surveillance screens.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did too.
But the way he did it, it was just so
smooth.
Yeah, and smooth.
But when he was asking her,
oh man,
one of my associates, you know, he was all proper.
Oh,
And when she was like, well, I don't know how I did it. He's like, what do you mean you don't know? She's like,
I don't know.
And I mean, she's so earnest. And he's like, well, the only way I know for sure is if I glamour her. And I was just like, Pam, what the hell? Don't go down there.
I was thinking,
you don't need to go down there with her. I thought she would zap him or something, but she wasn't too threatened, I guess, to...
Well, she wasn't possessed at that moment.
Well, duh.
It wasn't Antonia.
But it seems to come on her when she's threatened. The possession.
Well, not necessarily.
And so when Bill came in there, I was thinking, oh, now, Bill, you better watch out.
But, maybe,
but he was all smooth with
right,
it.
Right, so he wasn't threatening her.
Yeah, he's like, okay,
as soon as
don't, be scared,
came
don't be scared, don't be scared.
He said, I'm not going to hurt you, you know, and of course, she's, you know, cowering to the wall.
Yeah.
So that's probably why. I didn't really trip on that, but I just thought it was real interesting how he was glamming her, and she said the same thing. I don't know. I don't know what happened. You know,
uh-huh.
Because he's talking to her, see, and she don't know.
Yeah.
But later on, well, we'll get to that. But anyway, so, but yeah.
I liked her.
That glamoring scene was pretty good.
Yeah.
That Marnie's doing a real good job. And poor Pam, though.
Pam is just nasty looking.
But she is just out of her mind, though, because, you know, beauty and everything meant everything to
her.
And
I wonder if it hurts.
Well, it could be, but... She's just losing her mind because she's getting, have you noticed she's getting more, I don't want to say violent because she hasn't hurt anyone yet, but just more violent and more forceful, you know?
Well, because she's upset behind that happening. So she's running into, you know, running there telling Bill, we need to do something. I want to kill
I
her.
I want to kill her and stuff.
She's calling a woman all out her name and stuff. We ain't going to repeat what she say, but, you know, she is upset.
She is very upset. But, you know, I thought it was interesting with that scene when she showed Bill her face. And Bill was like, ooh.
Shit.
Yeah. You know. And then when she was talking about, oh, I want to kill that witch and all this stuff. And he said, look, the AVL has said no vampire on human killing. You can't do it. And he says, if you do, then you'd have to suffer the true death. And I do not wish
that
for you.
I know.
And
I like that
isn't
scene.
Isn't that nice? So he really does like Bam.
Well,
you
I know.
Don't know.
But I like that
because,
comment as well. When
yeah.
Says, I do not wish that,
that
for you.
I know. I thought that was
sweet,
good.
The way he
yeah,
said that.
Yeah.
I like Bill. Now, I know he's done some
well, now,
shit.
I like Bill
I
in
like
this episode.
His scenes. I'm drawn to his scenes, though. I like the way he does things. But he was right.
He was right.
You know, if you go and do that, I can't protect you. It's out of my hands at that point. I'm just telling you, my hands are tied, but we can try to do something else, which is going to snatch your ass,
but
you know?
I liked him in this episode because it showed him doing his king stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
So
and,
then,
and,
well, let's go
and
ahead and morph
it.
Into Bill.
Okay.
We first see them. I mean, we skipped a little bit with him, but
yeah.
We first see him... with Portia coming
Portia.
To see him.
Portia. Oh, that was hilarious.
And she is telling him, well, I've done some research
and we can have
incest
a relationship.
Laws have been relaxed now.
She nasty, damn.
Nasty.
There
shit.
Got to be some other. Even
wait.
Even if there's other men in the town and she done screwed them all, ain't there some other vampires beside Bill? Start on them. You know?
He done put it on her.
I mean,
He whipped that shit on her, and she said, I want me some more Bill Compton.
That is just nasty.
I mean, if it would have been me, I'd have been like, first of all, I'm traumatized. That's my great-great-great-great-whatever granddaddy.
Yeah.
Second of all, why would you go and pursue more?
Yeah.
She really likes him.
Yeah.
So, he has a glamour her ass.
Yep.
And that scene, I love that scene.
That was excellent.
He's like, you are not romantically interested in me. She's like, I'm not.
And a matter of fact, every time you see me, you're going to scream and run away. Ah, that was hilarious.
And I mean, as soon as she blinked her
eyes. Oh, man.
She ran off screaming.
She's screaming.
That was good.
Oh, that was so funny. And he's standing there like, oh, okay, yeah. Now
like,
I can get
okay,
on with
now
that
I can
stuff.
Do some damn work. Shit.
That was so
funny. Now, you know what it reminded me of? Remember in between season 2 and 3, I think it was. When Bill was getting ready to ask Sookie to marry him. So it must have been between season 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the Marianne shit. But remember those little webisodes or little things that they did in between the seasons?
Yep.
And there was one with Bill where this jeweler had come to visit him at his house because he couldn't go out in the daytime.
Right.
And she was all jittery and nervous. He thought because he was a vampire, but it was because she really wanted to hook up with him.
Yeah.
That reminded me of that little bitty vignette thing that I just thought was so funny. Because she was just all suggestive with Bill, and he finally glamored her and says, okay, what is your intention here? Mm-hmm. She's like, well, I remember that. I could get me some vampire.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just a side note.
Well,
I can see that if y'all haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that he did that to Portia, because she was kind of getting on my nerves.
And then he was running around the desk and she was chasing him.
I'm thinking, okay. No. That's nasty.
Go find somebody else.
And if you don't want none of the men in town, go find another vampire. You know. Anyway, okay, now, the next time we see Bill, now here come my rant.
Go ahead, Al.
All right. Now, you know, we done already said, where's the other black people?
Yes.
And other you know, positions and stuff.
Like you saw last week, the black people in
Merlot. Well, this time
we see a black sheriff.
Well, okay. But let me finish. Quit interrupting me.
I'm not. I'm helping you.
So he is talking to his remaining four sheriffs in Louisiana. And there's a Latino one. We find out Luis is actually
Spanish.
Was the vampire back in 1610 who was terrorizing Antonia, but that comes later. But anyway.
His master.
Right. Well, he was too. But anyway.
No.
Okay. Brother man, he trying to tell him about the witches, and of all the sheriffs sitting there, they going to have the black one say, witches, like witches were a fantasy or something, and little scrawny ass Bill Compton is gonna step to this buff brother and choke him. Oh, hell no. That scene was so fake. I said, you know what? Alan Ball got some issues. First of all, that man, I don't care if Bill was older than him. As buffed as that brother was, he would have knocked fire from him, talking about, don't you be putting your hands on my neck. You know,
well,
that was just so fake to me.
Yeah, I didn't like that scene either.
I didn't like that at all.
Because it was abrupt. I mean, I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with him talking to his other sheriffs.
Would have been better that line coming from the younger one.
Yes.
Who would be like, witches, why we gotta be scared
of
them?
This big old buffed, obviously bodybuilding black dude who could beat Bill Compton to a pulp. Well, oh, hell no.
Honestly not, because they had him powering and shit.
Well, but that's the way they wrote the part. Right. But I mean, come on now. Come on,
y'all.
Yeah,
that scene.
That was just so fake. It was just ignorant.
That scene kind of bothered me, too.
Well, I like the part where Pam came in and was talking about, you know, none of y'all don't know your history. Now, I don't know why she was saying that, because Brother Man was the only one saying witches.
Well,
the other ones didn't say nothing. And yeah, come to think of it, that young white guy with the curly hair, he should have been the one who said that shit.
Well, she was saying that because they all were looking at them crazy when they were talking about the witch trials and the stuff. They're all kind of looking like, okay,
that sure irritated me. I said to myself, you know what, y'all?
But then that Luis guy, he was the one who said, you know, she
back in 1610.
Yeah, she put a spell on the vampires
and called them out.
And called them out into the sun within a 20-mile radius or whatever it was. And he said, if I wouldn't have been out of, you know, wherever he was in Grenada.
That's what he said.
Called too. It got his maker. And ever since then, he's been trying to find all the witches and stuff.
Yep. So, well, I thought it was, now, the best part of that whole scene is when Bill was trying to explain to them, when the guy says, you mean there were priests and nuns
that were
vampires, and he says, oh yes, he says vampires have always tried to mesh into the powerful institutions in the country. He says, like in the 1600s, it was the Catholic Church. He says, and nowadays, as you know, it's Google and Fox News. I died laughing. I thought that was a great line. I thought that was funny. It was hilarious.
Wasn't that funny?
Oh, yeah. It was funny to me. So, yeah. But other than Brother Man, him trying to manhandle Brother Man, no. But the scene was okay except for that, because that was just too fake. Because that man would have walked
in. Pam gets irate, you know, because she still wanted to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And gets irate and slips up and says, Well, she's done jack with me. She erased Eric's memory. And then she realizes it, and Bill's quick on it. He's like, what? And pushes her up against the wall and said, oh, you've seen him then, huh? Okay, where? Where he at? And she's like, at Sookie's. And Bill's
face. Did you see his face?
Bill's face was like, what?
He was hurt and shocked. But he was hurt, though.
And mad at the same time.
Well, yeah. But you could tell he was hurt, because in that instant he realized, that beat him lied to me.
So that, I guess that tells us that he did believe her.
He believed her.
Instead of him smelling Eric or sensing Eric there. Yes, but because, he did, you know, choose to believe her. That Eric wasn't there.
That was something, though. His face was heartbroken.
And then he's zoom out the door.
But the thing I liked about that scene is the camera stayed on Pam and she went, sorry, Eric. And all four of them shares. You see them staring at her like,
Bitch,
you done told on your makeup.
But her face, that's what I was looking at. Her nose is all misshapen.
She's
her
really,
lips were all misshapen.
She's really
it
having it bad.
It was jacked.
It was jacked. Okay.
Who you want to talk about now?
Well, we done covered Pam and everything. Let's talk about Terry and Arlene.
Woo, yes.
Oh, my Lord. This was what the best part of the whole
God said out of the devil done gone. God said out of the devil done gone. God said out of the devil done gone. He jumped up and he ran out the door. Devil said, go out the door. And he ain't coming back no more.
Woo-hoo!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Oh, that was hilarious!
That was so good.
Well, first of all,
I was cracking up when she come in the room. I'm Mrs. Daniels now.
Oh. They said, hey, Reverend Dines. Hi, Lady May. Mrs. Daniels now.
With her little left hand to show her ring out.
Uh-huh. Oh,
she looked good, though.
Goodness, she did.
Hair all done.
But let's go back first. You know, this is after they done read what the Spirit wrote, the baby not yours, you know. Terry decides, you know, that's what we need. We need somebody to come in and do like a house exorcism.
Yeah, and so did you notice?
Arlene said, oh, yeah, called Rev.
Did you notice she had Mikey? She was holding him. Mm-hmm. So and to me, it was so stark and abrupt to the earlier part of the season where you never see her holding the baby. But I think of it as her really thinking, okay, this something in the house is possessed. It's not my baby.
Exactly.
So now I can love on my baby and protect on my baby. And she was yelling at, remember, she was yelling at the walls and stuff. Renee, you ain't getting my baby. You ain't doing
nothing to my... No, she said, Renee, God's coming for you.
Yeah, but she was also saying, you ain't getting my baby.
Well...
So to me, it's like she has finally figured out that it's... Or convinced herself that it's not the baby.
I never did.
And that's why she's more... I don't know.
Well, I mean, that could be true because, but, I mean, I just thought the whole thing was hilarious. And especially when she talking about you people.
Now, I would have said the same thing. I'd be like, what you talking about, you people?
She meant them black folk.
Yes, she did.
But, of course, she cleaned it up real good. You know, religious.
Well, she didn't do it real good, but she tried to clean it up.
Yeah, she tried to clean that up. But, dang, because she was shocked when she opened the door and it was them black folk there. Because
why didn't you call Reverend Skinner?
Yeah, he said, because he don't do this. Plus, I like their music.
It's livelier. And he don't do these kind of things.
Oh, but when they was burning that sage, she said, you got to get up in the corners because that's where they hide. Oh, hell. Lord have mercy. I was dying laughing. I had to roll that scene back because I was laughing
so hard.
I did
just because I wanted to hear the song.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was just funny.
God said out and the devil done gone. God said out and the devil done gone. God said out and the devil done gone. Devil done gone and ripped the door. Whatever. Jumped out the door. Oh, they need to make that on. They need to put that on the next CD. That's too funny.
That was hilarious. So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the next time we see them... This is at nighttime, and they just had sex. They're laying in the bed. They just had sex, and, you know, they're telling each other that, you know, I'm so glad I found you. No, I'm so glad I found you, and, you know, and they're happy now, and they're marveling at the fact that little baby Mikey is sleeping. He's not crying. He's not cooing. He's not nothing. The house is totally quiet, you know.
Yeah.
And so they're really, really like that. And then as the camera pulls out, you see that there's a book of matches on their dresser, and it spontaneously ignites. Somebody done set that place on fire.
What I took from that scene is, who has sex with their clothes on like that?
Probably a lot of people.
Do they?
I don't know yet.
I mean,
why are you asking me?
I don't know.
Like, no.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, have you ever talked to somebody and say, well, I guess people don't really talk about that part of it, but... Well, I have never seen.
Maybe
I mean,
if
he had his shirt on, she had a shirt and a bra on. Who does that?
But maybe if they're prudy, I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't even.
Obviously,
trip on
they're
that.
Not that prudy. The baby in the room.
Well, but I'm just saying. Yeah, but that's Renee's baby.
Yeah, but anyway, that's what I was. I was like, okay, do people really do that?
Well, people wear...
With their clothes on.
People wear pajamas to bed.
I mean, they're in the bed.
But people wear pajamas to bed. If you wear pajamas to bed, then you decide to have sex with your husband. What, you going to take the pajamas off?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who you asking? I don't know what them people do.
Hey, y'all, listen, y'all write in and tell us.
Yeah, because, hey.
Y'all have sex with your clothes on? Because I want to know.
I really do want to know.
You know what?
I didn't even notice that, though.
You didn't?
No. I didn't even notice
that.
I mean,
she even has a bra on because when they pull up closer on her, she's got that, like, strappy
like
shirt.
A little camisole thing.
But you can see
like...
there's straps underneath that.
Yeah, that's true.
He got a full shirt on. She got on jewelry
t-shirt.
And shit. What? I don't know. That just struck me.
But
I want to know. You can be anonymous if you want to, but write in and let me know if you have sex with your clothes on.
Wait a minute. And jewelry. Don't you take all your jewelry off?
And then do y'all just roll over and go on to sleep? You don't get up and clean up or nothing? How do y'all cover stuff? I mean, the covers.
Okay, we not
the covers stay on the bed like that and everything.
We not gonna have no nasty rant again. Like that's nasty as
no. I am not saying it's nasty. Ooh. I'm just saying. Okay. Hello.
Well, you know, I didn't.
I want to know.
I didn't notice the jewelry either, but yeah, you got to take the necklaces off and earrings.
Well, no,
and stuff.
I mean, if you sleep with your jewelry on, that's fine.
Oh Lord!
But I'm just saying. I mean, the sheets and the bed was all well made, and nothing was turned over. The pillows were still on the bed. I mean, and the sheets were like silky. That shit falls off just from you rolling over normally. Anyhow, okay, so Ooh, are we done with Terry and
Yeah, I guess so. Ooh, Lord.
Oh,
okay,
let's talk about Jason
and
Hoyt and Jessica.
Jessica, yeah.
So they find Jason, they put him in the bed after she done given him her blood.
Mm-hmm.
And Hoyt's looking at her, and I like the line where he says, "You saved my best friend's life," and she's like, "It's all in the wrist."
I know, that was cute. That was real cute.
But she was acting squirrely.
Yeah,
I was like,
she's acting hinty to him.
What is she acting funny for? But I think it was because she felt guilty.
For glamoring him mm-hmm.
and lying to him.
Yep, and I think that's what it is.
I do too.
I think that's what it is because she really didn't want to do it, but she didn't want him leaving that night either and stuff. So, you know, when she glamored
him. She done did it now. She can't take that shit back.
No. Yeah, because she's done it already.
She done it.
So, you know.
So Hoyt gets mad. I mean, I'm thinking.
Well, but he gets mad because he tries to kiss her.
Yeah.
And she ducks and says, you know. And then you find out that she's been doing that lately. Because he's saying, "What's up? I mean, you're doing this." She says, I'm just tired. I just gave Jason my blood. I'm just tired. Let's go home. And he's saying, well...
I'm going to stay here with Jason.
Yeah, you go on. I'm going to stay here. And did you notice?
Yes, I was just going to say.
His face all beat up. when he looked back at her, he still got the black eye and some bruises.
But he
and
didn't
shit.
Say he loved her back
no,
or nothing.
He didn't. Yeah.
So I'm like, mm-hmm. He is.
This is what I think he thinks. I think Hoyt thinks that she's acting funny because she's out there biting other people.
But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know because she glamored that out of him.
Because she glamored him. That's right. Well, but he did ask her, did you have another trucker?
No, did you kill another trucker?
Yeah, kill another trucker. So, she said no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to tell Jason his little issues while after Jason tells him all that had went on in Hot Shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason's like, look, I love you, but this is nothing compared to what I've been through.
Well, and I was surprised that Jason told him that he was raped. And this is a thing that I found interesting. And because Hoyt asked Jason when they was at Malak, well, how many women was it? He says, oh, at least 24 at least.
He said a dozen, maybe two. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Ugh. Oh, that's nasty.
That is gross. He need to go to the clinic.
Hey, because you know he got something banal. Damn.
Maybe not, because they're all, you know, I don't know, but he needs to go somewhere.
He need to go somewhere. Yeah.
And then we next see Jason having sexy dreams
about Jessica.
And then at the very tail end, Hoyt pops up. Oh, yeah, I see you with my girlfriend, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the hell?
That was hilarious.
That's
first
when I knew it was a dream.
Well, I knew it was a dream immediately because just by the way Jessica was acting I thought, yeah. And then Jason says, wait a minute, is this a dream? And she says, yeah. It's your dream or something like that. And he says, oh, well, all right then. And then, you know, when Hoyt, but the thing that was the most funny is when she was saying, Hoyt, and he was saying, Jason. Hoyt, Jason. And then Hoyt was there. He says, Hoyt, that's when he got up.
Freaked me out.
That was so funny.
And he's like, oh, my gravy.
Jason is so dumb, though. Oh, Lord. He just so countrified, you know. Oh, that was hilarious. That was a good scene.
That was a very good scene.
That was a good scene. And Jessica looked real good, too.
She did look good in that.
She's a pretty girl, though. She's really pretty.
She is pale, though, but she is pretty.
And I love her red hair, though. She really looks good. Because a lot of redheads said they're just a little too pale, you know, and they really don't look, you know, quite like, you really wouldn't say they're attractive, but she's very pretty, though.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Eric.
Eric and Suki.
Sweet little Eric. He had a bad dream about Godric.
That dream was weird. And I'm trying to figure out, because Godric wasn't, I guess in his early years he was like that.
But it's a dream, so it don't make it true. You see what I'm saying?
I know, but still. You think it would come from some kind of a...
I didn't think that because this is because to me, the whole point of the dream that I got, it was not the fact that Godric was wanting him to chomp her. It was the fact that he felt inside of him, Suki redeemed me. And Godric's telling him, you're not redeemed because, you know, you evil.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of that. It wasn't so
it's
much...
like his two sides collide.
Yeah. It wasn't so much that the fact that it was Godric doing it. Because like Suki explained to him, well, of course you're going to dream about Godric. Godric was your maker and you loved him very much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's gone.
You know, because he doesn't remember none of that stuff.
Yeah.
But when he woke up and then he went up to Suki's and he was kind of leaning over. And then when she woke up and says, Eric, what the hell? And he's saying, I had a bad dream.
I felt so sorry
for him.
Yeah.
I thought, poor little babe.
And then when he was in the bed crying.
I know.
And rubbing his eyes with his fist.
I know. That was so cute.
And she was like, well, but you know, that, you know. You're
going to dream about it because he was your maker.
He was the most human vampire I ever knew. He was kind. Mm-hmm. And you're going to miss him. And
he would love the way you are right now and everything.
Am I evil? And she's like, well.
You're not Gandhi, but.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Well, you're not Gandhi, but, you know, you're nice and sweet. And you're just like, you know, Godric would have wanted to see you like this, you know. So, but when he said, can I stay here till morning?
I know.
Oh, that was adorable. That yeah. was too cute. It was just too.
And when he pulled her hand over.
Oh, that was
and
just.
And says, "I would never hurt anything as beautiful as you." And she kind of looks at him like with a little frown on her face, like what?
Oh, but he is just.
Honey, please.
He's just like a little precious puppy.
Yep.
I mean, he really is, and it's just I really like that part. I really like that part. Mm-hmm. So then
we see them. The whole, you know, when Tara comes over.
Yeah. And now, Tara's up there talking to Sookie and everything. And did we talk about Tara yet?
No. Or Jesus yet.
Okay. Well, you want to talk about Tara? And then we can incorporate Eric and everything.
Well, she kind of is in all the scenes with Lafayette and Jesus.
That's true.
Too. You know, after they, I think we start talking about them and then we stopped.
And then we went on to something
They
else.
Decide they cutting out of town, so they all packing their
they
shit.
They got to pack their bags.
They're ready to go.
Well, they want to go down to the grandfather.
Well, Jesus and Lafayette, Jesus wants to go down to the grandpa.
In Mexico.
And Tara's like, I ain't going. I'm going to go right back to
Noah's. But you know what? I agree with Jesus because he was trying to tell Lafayette, look, she possessed and everything. We need the power. We need the same kind of power to deal with her. See, that's what we need. And we need that same kind of power to deal with Eric or whatever. Because, see, they don't know that Eric's memory's gone. So,
no, they don't.
You know, with Eric and Pam, we need some power just like she got.
Yeah.
So that's the whole reason why they was going down there. And then when Jesus told Lafayette that story about when he was 9, I thought that explained so much to me. Because I told you before. Jesus, see, I told you, and I think it was maybe a couple episodes ago, and we were discussing Jesus, and I told you, some ain't right with the boy, because see, he don't have the power, but he wants the power.
Right.
He wants the power. And that's what gravitated him to Lafayette in the first place, because he could feel that power. See?
Exactly, I agree with that. He's been wanting that power his whole life, and he don't have it.
And when he said, and once my grandfather made me lick that blood, I felt the power. And I've never felt it since, and I want it again.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So I thought, man, see, I was right, you know. But this was the funny part. When they arrive down to to Mexico to the grandfather's, and they see that pregnant woman hanging up in the laundry, Lafayette talking about, his pencil must still work.
He still got lead in his pencil.
Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, oh my God.
I was thinking, why wouldn't you think it was just like another grandkid or
well, because,
sister?
I don't know.
Something.
Yeah. But that's the first thing they said.
Yeah.
And I thought that was real good.
What cracked me up when Jesus was telling that story to Lafayette, and then they come back to the current time.
Uh-huh.
Lafayette says, "Oh shit, we ain't going down to see your grandfather."
Yeah, I know it. That's what he said.
I ain't going to Mexico. Hell
and that's when Jesus got a little more forceful. Said, "Look, we got to have the power.
Yeah,
we got two vampires wanting to kill us."
And then the grandpa sneaking up on him saying, "I've been waiting for you.
Yeah, I've been expecting you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So bring your ass."
But that
on.
Was funny. He went. Like he touched him on the back as they
you see Lafayette walking. Jump back like
he was ready to duke. Because Lafayette ain't no pop. You know, he gonna beat you down if necessary. So then, while they leave,
Tara calls her girlfriend
to tell her I'm coming back to New Orleans.
I miss you, baby. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And I could already see. I was like, "Why is she acting funny?"
Yeah, you could tell she was acting funny.
Hey, Tony. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Who Tara?
No.
Who Tara?
She said, "Who the fuck is Tara Thornton?"
And I was like, "Oh hell."
When that knock came on the door, I knew it was her.
What knock?
The next time we see Tara, she's sleeping on Lafayette's couch. And that Naomi comes.
I think you're talking about the next episode.
No, I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, you're talking about the next episode. We're talking about me and the devil.
Okay.
You done got confused.
Yeah.
No, the next time we see Tara, she's at Sookie's house.
That's true.
Talking to Sookie.
She's
they're drinking
crying
beer,
and
eating ice cream. Talking about, telling her about, what's the girl name?
I Naomi.
Naomi, yeah. Talking about Naomi and Sookie's like, "Oh, well, when we were growing up, did you know you like girls?" She's like, "Well, I've never liked them before. I just started, you know, I just do."
Uh-huh.
And she's like, "Okay, well," and then, you know, I thought it was good advice that Sookie was giving her, but at the same time, Sookie was not telling her the truth about her situation.
Okay, well, see, this is the deal. Sookie had every opportunity.
Yes.
Way before Eric even came out of his cubby. Because when them effing birds was chirping, it was still daylight.
Right.
Therefore, that was your clue. She could have told her then. But even when the confrontation was on, all she was doing was standing there saying, Tara, no, Tara, no. All she had to do was say, Tara, he ain't going to hurt you because he can't remember shit. he don't even know who the hell you are.
When he started coming out of the cubby, I had to put my hand on the back of the chair. I said, and stay your ass back there.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, Tara, can you go in the kitchen and get me a drink real quick? And I said, get your ass back in there. Because my friend don't know, and we don't want her to know either.
I mean, she could have done any number of things.
Or she could have said, look, since she ain't leaving and she's trying to stay the night, I said, look, Tara, I know you had a run-in with Eric, but he at my house.
All she had to do was say.
No, I don't think Tara. It would have mattered to Tara. I mean, either way, Tara would have been upset.
She would have been upset, pissed. But all Sookie had to say was, look, Tara, I got something to tell you. First of all, don't ask me yet how I know, but Eric is not after you because he can't remember anything.
I think she would have been mad regardless and scared because even if Sookie would have said, okay, I understand what happened to you, but he's different now and he's staying in my house, Tara would have still been pissed.
She would have, but she should have said how he's different. He doesn't remember anything. He don't remember you, Lafayette, me, nobody. He don't remember nothing. And she had ample opportunity to say that, in my opinion. I mean, more than 5, 6, 7 times in the time period that they were sitting there talking. And especially when she was talking about, you know, you really have to be honest with the people that you love. And I'm thinking, bitch, come on now. And you sitting there lying to her, and she's supposed to be one of your best friends. Yeah. Anyway, that whole thing made me mad. I was mad with Tara. I thought, uh-huh. Point that poker at Sookie.
She was serious,
not Eric.
Too.
Oh, she was serious, too.
And Eric just walked up calmly, like, eh.
But I thought, did you see his face when she was running down his history?
Yeah.
That was kind of sad.
Like, did I really do that?
Did I really do that stuff?
Yes,
yeah,
you did. But as he's trying to leave, she calls him back. Eric.
Don't go. Come back. Oh, now we didn't talk about her going to the Goddess Emporium, no.
No, we skipped that.
Okay, so
we skipped that.
Let's go back to that before we get to the end of
it. I like that scene.
I love this scene.
I love it. And I love it because we get grand for
well,
just like 2 seconds.
Well, first of all, at Merlot's, when she went to work earlier that day, she walked up to Holly and going to be, you know, that chatty shit again.
Yes.
See, when she wants to get information.
I'm really, is it Wicca?
Wicca, which is, what is it? You know, and
I've always been real interested in that.
That was good, though.
That was good.
But she had to listen in, though, to get what she needed.
Yeah, but she knew that would trigger her to think about it.
Yeah.
Just the talking, just asking about it would trigger her to
think about it. So she got Marnie's name and the Goddess Emporium from Holly's mind. And so she went there and she said she wanted a reading. And of course, at first Marnie's talking about, no, you know, I'm not doing that today. And when she started talking about, you know, when I was in school, my favorite shows were Charmed. And what did you say, Charmed and something else?
Buffy, I think.
Oh, well.
I don't know.
Something, but yeah.
So, I can't remember.
Yeah, so that's why Marnie, okay, come on, you know. But when she said, I need something personal, and when she gave her that locket, I knew then, oh, she going to contact Gran. Because, see, Gran, her grandmother gave her that
gave
locket.
Gave that,
But when Gran talking about, run, Sookie, run.
Well, she said, first, whoever you're falling in love with, don't give him your heart. And then she said, this lady is dangerous, run. And Marnie was talking back, saying,
I've never hurt anyone.
What are you talking about?
Because
I've
she can hear her,
anyone.
Too.
Well,
see,
yeah.
You know.
But Marnie doesn't know that Sookie can do
hear.
That.
Yeah.
So when Sookie's like, lady, when my grand says run, I'm going to run. That was funny.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I like that scene. I did.
She said.
And Marnie was looking at her like, what? But I think later on that's going to come up because.
I think it is.
She gave her real name. You know? And somebody, she's going to find out that Sookie, you know, some Sookie has something to do with all this stuff, you know?
I think so, too. But, and that's the first thing I thought, too.
I was like, why would you give your real name?
And especially now that she's possessed with Antonia.
Shit, because you don't know.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. You know that's coming back up. Mm-hmm.
Now, the only other character I think we haven't talked about yet is Alcide.
Yeah.
And there was really just that short scene with...
It was very short.
But he was looking damn good.
He did look good, though.
Dang gum, man.
When the Packmaster came to see him. Now
that little runty, breezy... Okay.
But this is what cracked me up about the Packmaster. How many white boys do you know named Marcus? Think about it.
There's several.
Every time I ever heard or met a Marcus, it's been a black dude.
Okay, well, what does that have to do with...
Well, but for me, that just threw the whole scene off to me.
Oh, Lord, Sister J.
Marcus. No.
Okay, can we move along?
Anyway.
But I was just amazed at how weaselly they had him.
He's weaselly.
He was short and weaselly.
I'll see
and just hostile.
Pop him.
But I get why he was hostile once they started talking. I'm like, well, who is Boo? And he's mad because Alcide hasn't registered. I'm like, well, who this dude at the house talking about? Are you Alcide Herbeau? I first be like, well, who the hell asking? What you want? But I think they were trying to show us that Alcide's not scared of whoever.
Right. And he's a loner. He didn't join the pack like the rest of them do when they come into the area.
Yeah.
Because he had said, you've been here 4 months and you haven't joined the pack. So what he was trying to say is he was ticked because Alcide had been living in his area 4 months, and rather than Alcide coming to the Packmaster, the Packmaster had to go and there. See him.
Right.
See, Alcide wasn't having it. He said, well, you know.
You know, and the other thing I remarked on that scene is, again, something strange.
What?
That maybe only, I don't know who does, but who actually is this dark at night? All your windows and shit is open and the lights on.
Oh, well, now, hell, you know who that is. Hey, we see it every day. See it every day in our neighborhoods. We see it every day. If you live in the suburbs, like we do, oh, yeah. These people have their shades open till midnight. You can look halfway through their house and they're walking around.
Yep.
Black people don't do that.
Oh, I'm sure there are some that do.
I don't think so.
I don't do it.
I don't do it.
I don't do it. As soon as
I have not seen a black family do that. And some black folk just moved like in my area.
Uh-huh.
They don't do it either. wait. Because I noticed they shades are shut.
Yep.
Just like mine is shut.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as it gets dusk,
see,
you shut your shades and turn on your light. And as a matter of fact, just get a timer for your lights and it'll come on automatically.
Yeah.
That's what you do. But no.
But he shut his porch light off, looking out the window, ain't pulled no shades, curtains,
nothing.
Mm-hmm. Lights just a-blazing through the house.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that too. But, you know, it didn't trip me out because nobody but black people
maybe
closed their shades.
Maybe it's because they're trying to dodge somebody. And you can't.
You can't dodge the bill collector to bone company with your shades open.
Not just bills, Sister Jackie.
Oh, okay,
but
sorry.
Just people. No.
Okay.
I just find some of the things in that was so weird. I mean, that just bothered me, too. I mean,
but see,
who has their shades open
like
that?
But see, I grew up like that. I mean, you don't, you know, when it got dusk, and when I was a kid, we had Venetian blinds on all the windows. And we had draperies, too. But, you know, the people had Venetian blinds on their windows so they could open
back
them
back in them days?
Yeah, in the daytime, when they were metal, you know. And those little bitty slap things. Anyway, and wait a minute.
You just
I'm just catching that back in them days.
Yeah.
God, please. Anyway.
Them some old days.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my parents always, when it got dusk, they shut the damn shades. And then they called you in. Because you could play outside until the street light came on. And when it came on, your ass better be in the house.
Mm-hmm.
No. Your ass better already be in the house.
Yeah.
See, but anyway.
Well, anyway, that's what struck me on that scene. I mean, the little Packmaster was weird, mm-hmm. but I like seeing Alcide. He was looking good.
Alcide did look good, I have to admit.
I think he's more interesting when he's... They need to make him... He's too nice and good. They need to make him a little more rough and tumble.
Well,
and so hopefully they're going to show him getting some rough and tumble.
But he doesn't have any reason to be rough and tumble. He moved.
Why not?
Well, because
he's got an ex-drug girlfriend.
Well, but she's toting the straight and narrow right now. So he doesn't have any reason to be. He moved to that suburb for a job. He's completing a job, building those that subdivision and stuff. So he's out in the burbs and stuff. You know, he's got a nice, calm, quiet life. So he doesn't need to be rough and tumble.
Well.
But if this Packmaster wants to get rowdy, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's coming.
Oh, yeah, I think it's coming.
I'm sure it's coming.
I think it's coming, too.
But that was a very good episode.
Yeah, it was.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It was good.
I enjoyed it.
Okay, so do you want to get on some emails?
Okay.
Because we have a lot.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
And it is great.
Okay.
Okay, this one is from Miss J Squared. Remember her?
Yeah. Hey, Miss J Squared.
She says, sisters, miss me? Anyone remember me?
Yes.
Seriously, I predated Mr. J, Paco the Cat, and all of them.
You sure did.
Anyway, I've been listening silently. Don't really want to comment unless I feel like there's something to say. Mm-hmm. And I got beef with y'all for falling off on the Fringe podcast. She says, no, really, I love you. I love you. Just don't fall off on True Blood.
Uh-huh.
Well, we did a little couple days this week.
Couple days.
We bet. She says, first of all, I need your podcast like I need my morning coffee. Mm. I thought I'd hate that you got rid of the recap, but I think you discussed the episodes and characters so thoroughly that it makes up for it. It's also really fun to hear the comments from all the new listeners, mm-hmm. even the haters, who are probably pimple-faced 13-year-olds who shouldn't be watching True Blood anyway.
That's probably true.
Okay, so she says she's going to comment on some storylines and comments that she's heard on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And she says, I haven't watched episode 5 yet, but I don't think you've podcast for episode 4 yet, so I think I'm okay.
Okay.
Is this episode 4?
Yes.
I thought this was a 5. Okay. No, this is episode 5, right? Of True Blood season 4?
No.
Okay, my bad. Okay, she says, Skinwalkers. For sure, Tommy or Sam or both will become Skinwalkers, mm-hmm. but I don't think it will be from killing each other. It will be from killing Ma or Pa Mickens.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Sam, since Alan Ball can never make him happy, you know that this new relationship is going to end tragically.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got some foreshadowing of that when girlfriend mentioned her ex is a werewolf.
Yep.
Poor Sam. He and Tara just need to take the next boat to the get the F out of Bontempville and live happily ever after.
That's true, though. Both of them.
Speaking of misery, Jason... Vomit, barf, vomit, barf, vomit, barf. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy seeing anyone raped, man mm-hmm. or woman.
Yep.
And just because Jason is a horny-ass mofo doesn't mean he deserves to be on the hillbilly white motherfucking trash rape wagon.
I know it. That
Can
was so
nasty. Can we be done with them now, please?
Mm-hmm.
I'm seriously going to start skipping over any scene that involves raw meat eating, barefoot, feet stinking, stringy hair-wearing panther people. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't with them.
Mm-hmm.
Scary baby. This is not a case of the evil babies. This is a case of the Chucky dolls. It's that doll that's possessed, not that cute little baby. Please.
Mm-hmm.
That face is too cute to be harboring any an evil baby brain.
I know. He's so cute.
Sookie. Sister J, I'm with you. That twitchy fairy child is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, have you ever noticed how twitchy and awkward Anna Paquin is? Let her show her boobs and be gone with her. I'd rather watch Pam and Eric's show anyway.
Yep.
I'm happy to hear y'all again, Miss J Squared.
Thank you, Miss J Squared, for that wonderful email. And I'm glad somebody agrees with me on the Sookie thing, because, you know...
She doesn't bother me.
Hey, she bothers me,
I like Anna Paquin.
But she did much better in this episode. Much better.
Yeah, she did.
I think, because, you know... She's softening to Eric, so, but it makes her softer too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good.
Okay, our next email is from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
he says, hello, sisters. I hope all is well in your universe. I will try not to take up too much of your time, but I want to share some of my thoughts on this episode. Let's get started. He likes that line. Does Mr. Ball bring characters back from last season only to kill them off? Joe Lee and Melinda Mickens?
Yep.
I am glad Tommy bludgeoned Mr. Gingy Saggy Pants.
I know it!
And I am happy. It was done before we were subjected to seeing him in his underwear again this season. Can we say Skinwalker Tommy?
Yes.
Maybe Tommy can bring that pipe to Moon Goddess Emporium and whack Marnie upside her head.
Oh.
Sorry for advocating violence on women, sisters, but ever since Marnie made my Pam a decaying corpse, I've been thinking of ways to get rid of her. I like Marnie. Pam was out of line, though.
Yep. Pam should have shut the hell up.
Question for the sisters. If Eric's memory was erased, then why was he able to dream about Godric? It's in his subconscious, I think.
Yep, it's just because when you're dreaming,
yeah,
it's your subconscious anyway.
He says, it does seem as though there is some invisible force at work this season, which will make sense out of the case of the reappearing doll, the matches being set on fire, and the baby not yours scribble. I don't think baby Mikey is devilly, Sister K. I think it's a clever way of making the viewers believe that Mikey is devilly, but I think it will turn out to be something altogether different.
It's not the baby.
Yeah. I'm thinking more and more it's not the baby either. Yeah.
I never thought it was the baby.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Even from the grave, Gran gives good advice to Sookie, and what does she do? She is about to bring light into Eric's life. Mm-hmm. I know the fans would rather see her with Eric, but seriously... Mm-hmm. Well, at least she is a serial monogamous fang banger. Mm-hmm. But as far as she is concerned, Bill broke her heart a few hours ago. Now she is going to sleep with Eric?
No, it's days now. It's been days. Yeah,
She keeps the drama, doesn't she? And Sister J, why would Sookie lie to Tara about not having seen Eric, knowing full well that Eric could come out of his cubby in any minute?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem believable that a lifelong friend would lie to her best friend in the world.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially after Tara told her that she was attacked by Eric. Makes no sense to me.
I agree.
Sisters, let me find out. Lady May has been consecrated. Has been consecrating Reverend Daniels. But wasn't he married? Welcome back, Lady May. Whatever she did to Rev Daniels could not have been sanctified. She put the root on him, too.
Hey, I already knew she was going to move out his wife.
She whipped it.
Because last season, she told Tara, he said he's going to leave her. Remember when she said, he's married.
And Tara was like,
he's
going to
leave
her.
Mm-hmm. Hey, she booted her out.
Judging from the previews, Eric will meet the true death, right?
Nope.
We know better than that. I think Nan will ensure that will not happen, or at least the ceremony will be interrupted by something else. Mm. There will be a fight between the witches and the vampires. That might rescue Eric from the true death. Why did Alcide reject the pack leader of Shreveport? Maybe to set up for the split in Alcide and Debbie's relationship. Of course, Marcus, the pack leader, is going to give Debbie Pelt some V, which is going to make her want to go after Sookie. Sister J, what do you bet that Marcus is the baby daddy of Luna? I would not be surprised.
He is. I thought about that, too. He is. I think he is.
It is surprising to believe that we are halfway to the finish line in season 4 already. I have it on good authority that there will be a season 5, so I'm looking forward to future Sister Speak podcasts. Thank the maker. Take care, sisters. Myron.
Thank you, Myron, for that email.
Thank you, Myron.
You know, the reason I'm saying that... Marcus Bozeman is going to be Luna's baby daddy. And that's because, think about it, he's the only new werewolf we got in the area.
That we've seen.
Yeah, so that far. We've seen. But this is what I don't get. If that proves to be true, then why didn't she tell Sam he's the pack leader of Louisiana? Because she just said he kind of watches us sometimes. And I don't know. But to me, I think that's what he's going to end up being.
Yeah.
Thank you for that email, though.
Okay, our next email is from Holly.
Hey, Holly.
She says, hi, sisters. Hello from Canada.
Ooh, yay.
I discovered you both halfway through season 3, and I just love your take on the show, and I just laugh and laugh. For some insane reason, I am the only one of my friends watching the show, so you both are my only outlet for discussing it.
Wow.
Yes, I talk with and back to you during your podcast. I am desperate for your commentary for the show airing on the 17th, and cross my fingers that you... fabulous girls will podcast about last night's show.
Okay.
OMG, as much as I want to talk about last week's show, I have to put that on hold and talk about Sam and Tommy. All I can think is two things that my brain is going back and forth about. One, is Tommy going to become a skinwalker now that he killed his mother? I don't know why, but more importantly, number two, is his mother dead? Tommy turned into an alligator in the back of the van and scared the effing shit out of Andy. Mm-hmm. I nearly peed my pants laughing after I was done nearly falling out of my chair from surprise of that gator jumping out.
Yeah, that was good.
So now I had a thought today that what if Melinda is playing dead and shifted into an alligator and she's going to fuck Tommy and Sam up for killing Jolie? What do you think?
Now, I didn't even think of that.
Well, see,
Oh, my goodness.
That would be awesome if that happened.
That's why you kept saying, is she really dead?
No, that's not why. I just kept thinking she wasn't dead because just one knock on the head would kill her.
Well, but he really knocked her.
Her eyes weren't open or nothing, but yeah. I'm sure they felt her neck and stuff and made sure she was dead before they threw her in the water, but I just kept thinking she would pop up. I don't
know. That would be awesome if that happened, though.
I don't think that would happen.
I don't think it is either, but I never even considered that, though.
Okay, she goes on to say, also, I totally agree with Sister J about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I just don't trust him.
I don't either.
He wants something from Lafayette, and it's just nothing good. Mm-hmm. I'm so worried for him, and now he's in Mexico with some damn crazy goat killers. What the hell? I'll wrap this up by saying how fine Eric is. Whew! That little boy lost her teen. Charming, and I'm just a little in love with him now.
I know.
So, sisters, I hope all is well, and you'll be up and podcasting again. I'm sure all your fans are feeling the same. P.S., Sister J, I wish I worked in your office. You sound like a blast. Holly.
Thank you, Holly,
Thank you, Holly, for that email.
And, you know, at least you cool up there in Canada. Dang, it's hot down here.
Is it cool up there?
Oh, yeah. Because we had 110 today, and we are like 33 days over 100 degrees.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Oh, it's hot down here in Dallas.
Hell.
But thank you so much for that email. And, you know, I never even considered that Melinda could maybe turn into something right quick.
I didn't either, but I don't know. I like that character, so I was kind of sad when she, got croaked up. But
she had to have consequences for her behavior,
yes,
though.
She did.
Because that was totally wrong. I mean, that's been about the most wrong-headed thing this season yet, is her turning on Tommy like that. And tricking him. So Tommy knows now that she tricked him on purpose. She called Merlot, found out where he lived, and all that stuff on purpose.
Just to get him back.
Just to get him back so they could fight him in the ring so they wouldn't have to do it. Oh, no.
That's
she had
awful.
To go. She had to go. Yeah. But thank you for that email.
Okay, our next one is from Terry.
Hey, Terry.
She says, hey there, Sister J and Sister K. Your latest podcast was epic and legendary. The discussion of women at the office who don't wash their hands was hilarious and, unfortunately, really rang true for me.
Yep.
We have a few notorious non-washers here, and it's just gross beyond belief. Mm-hmm. And yes to the potluck connection. I also keep mental notes on that nastiness.
Oh, yeah, girl. You can't forget who don't wash their hands and what they bought. Mm.
Then we swing to another gross topic, that revolting Hot Shot scent.
Oh, yes.
It's like you need hand sanitizer after watching a scene from Hot Shot.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to see big-jawed Crystal with no top on. Ugh. Mm. I'll never be the same. I did not need to see her headlights.
That's
run,
what I'm saying.
Jason, run.
That's what I'm saying. She looked just as nasty with no clothes on. She.
Well, I mean, hey. Mm. Mm. Now, I can't wait to see what will happen when Bill flies over to Sookie's house and catches Sookie and Eric together.
Oh, yeah.
He looked anguished when Pam told him Eric was at Sookie's.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it all, Bill.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He going to be mad. You know he going to be mad.
That's going to be, he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for your next podcast. You're always 5 stars to me, Terry.
Thank you, Terry, for that wonderful email.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next episode because, Bill going to be real mad.
He going to be, he's going to be pissed.
Yeah, he going to be like hysterical mad.
Yeah.
You know that, that kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so our next email is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
Hello again, sisters. I really enjoyed the latest podcast. You ladies had me laughing while I was out jogging, so I'm sure people thought I was crazy. Ooh, congratulations on being out jogging.
Oh, yeah.
Because I should be, but honey, it's too hot.
It's too hot.
It's too hot here. We pass out. Mm-hmm. First up, what is the name of the episode? My DVR has it titled, I Love You, I Hate You.
Yeah, but that's online, not it.
It's labeled Me and the Devil.
Right.
It's Me and the Devil.
It's Me and the Devil.
My DVR does that sometimes,
mine
too.
Mine does, too, sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I really liked this episode upon second watching. There was so much going on, it was hard to keep up.
Yep.
Right off the bat, Tommy takes out both his parents. Mm-hmm. Saw that coming, but it was still a powerful scene.
It was wonderful.
I felt so bad for him. You know it's going to eat him up, especially when he realizes he has the skinwalker ability. Mm-hmm. Poor Sam just can't catch a break. Then again, he did go looking for trouble last season. Mm-hmm. I really love the Eric-Sookie relationship. I'm glad they've done a slow build-up so that when things go down, you know it's going to be hot and heavy.
Yep.
Sookie should have told Tara what was up, though. I think she just made a new enemy. Bill and Pam's back and forth was hilarious.
Yeah.
Bill was dogging her out on the sly. Speaking of Bill, that crown has blown his eagle up 10 times.
I think so, too.
He is very handsy with everyone. Sookie, Pam, the new sheriffs. Also nice to see another person of color among the vamps. Mm-hmm. This was not Marnie's episode, y'all. Poor woman. We did learn about those hooded figures in the flashbacks, mm-hmm. and they were indeed vampire priests. Scary. Mm-hmm.
And nuns.
The spirit Antonia is out for revenge on a massive scale by the looks of what happened to her and her people. Watch out now. The Jesus background was interesting but creepy as hell. Mm-hmm. I'm on board with Sister J now. Something just don't check out. Mm-hmm. The Jason storyline was very off-putting for me. He just seemed to snap back to his old dumb self too quickly.
I agree.
Not well written, but they did set up the triangle. Finally, the hilarity that is Arlene and Terry. Now they know they wronged for Mr. and Mrs. Letty Mae Daniels. That was too damn funny. You just know Tara would have a fit if she saw this.
Oh, yeah.
You also know they didn't do a damn thing for Arlene Taus. Mm-hmm. This was a long one, but I really liked the episode. Thanks, sisters. But Paris.
Thank you, Paris, for that wonderful email. And yeah, you know Letty Mae and the Rev didn't do a daggum thing.
No.
And that burning of the sage, though, oh, that was hilarious.
That was funny.
Oh, that was hilarious. Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, we have another email from Miss J Squared.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't put those together. I didn't see them both together. She says, sisters, having so much listening to your podcast again, here are some thoughts on episode 5. Knew those mickens were dead meat. Literally. Mm-hmm. I hope those gators like dirty yellow drawers for dessert. Does this mean Tommy will have Wonder Twin Skinwalker powers for killing 2 shifters?
Ooh.
Good on him. Can we send him on over to Hotshot to kill some hillbilly panther people too, please? What kind of assistant is Sookie? I mean, really, she's whining to her fairy godmother for not protecting her, but meanwhile, we've seen her brother addicted to drugs, caught up in a cult, accused of murder, and gang raped by hillbilly panther people, and she's just tra-la-la-ing with sexy shirtless vamps and werewolves. Oh, please. That whiny, twitchy bitch. I called you twice yesterday, right? Tara's a better cousin to Lafayette than she is a sister to Jason. Mm-hmm. Even Sam helped Tommy dispose of dead bodies. Just saying.
Mm, well, I don't think that's a good point.
I don't think that's a bad sister. She just knows Jason's usually off.
Yeah.
You know,
being a horn dog.
Yeah, being a horn dog. So she didn't know nothing about what he was doing. And since she's been gone, she didn't even know he's out in Hot Shot or he have a girlfriend from Hot Shot.
That's true.
But she should have listened to his mind. I was wondering why she didn't do that.
Yeah.
Ha ha to Marnie the Witch. Love her, but she is full of it. It wasn't me. I was taken over. The spirit is benevolent. The vampires brought this fight to us. We were assembling peacefully. Lafayette, that's some catchy shit for your headstone. Good night.
Yeah, ha-ha. I forgot about that.
I love you, Lafayette. His bullshit meter is on point. Mm-hmm. Marnie equals best true blood villain since King Russell, but mainly because she's so covert and plays that victim act so well. Mm-hmm. Like she didn't know what she was doing trying to bring that dead bird back and trying to conjure up that witch's spirit. That's true.
Yes.
That's
true. Yes,
we forget about that.
No,
we
didn't. I didn't forget.
Well, I did. Mm-hmm. I did. Welcome back, Letty Mae. I'm telling you, it's a Chucky doll. It's a Chucky doll. Dear Bill, your storyline is boring. You are boring. Do not care. Unless you're having head-turning, booty-showing, bloody sex. Do not care. Your last podcast made me wonder if we were going to have True Blood travel to the Caribbean and have a voodoo storyline. Why not? They already had the BEs. That would definitely bring some flavor to the show. Speaking of, we're in Louisiana. Where is Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
I want to see Lala as a Mardi Gras Indian. Come on now.
That's a good point.
That's a good point, too.
That's a good point.
Was anyone else very disturbed by that goat slaughter scene?
Yes.
Too much for me, sorry. Do not want. You know there must be something a little sick about a dude that was forced to slaughter his pet goat as a kid. Jesus just got flagged by me, and just when I thought we could trust him.
Yeah, I don't.
Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the episode. Love you, sisters, Miss J Squared.
Well, thank you for that.
That was
email.
A disturbing scene. It wasn't as disturbing as the licking of the knife.
No. The killing of it. He was 9.
I know.
He was nine. Yeah. That was very disturbing. And the blood is splattering all on his face and clothes and stuff.
What?
I don't blame his mama. I'd take him too and wouldn't let him contact his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that email, though.
Okay, our next one is from Nanine.
Hey, Nanine.
Dear Sister J and Sister K. Oh, Tommy, what a shitstorm. Well, we knew a Mickens needed to die.
Oh, yeah.
But for him to kill his dad and then accidentally kill his mama, holy moly, no peace for the wicked.
I know.
The writers are not letting up on the audience or the characters. We had one peaceful scene in episode 1 when Jason made Sookie hot chocolate with marshmallows in it.
Yeah.
And it's been nonstop ever since.
That's true.
Best understatement of the century, I fucked up Sam. And Tom using his brain and becoming an alligator. That scene was brilliant, funny, scary, and adrenaline pumping.
That was good.
Reverend Tommy, it's in the Ten Commandments. Don't kill shit and don't fuck with your parents.
I know, and I love that
And
line.
Was anyone else thinking that the bodies needed to be tied down with rocks so they could sink in the swamp?
No.
Doesn't anyone know how to get rid of a dead body?
He did.
And then Sam and all his nonchalant coolness. Gators like marshmallows.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Lafayette, Hooker, you pissed off another goddamn vampire, and then you took a nap.
Uh-huh.
She's going through all the lines. Saved us. Oh, Witchy Poo, you have royally fucked us.
Mm-hmm.
Tara, you screwed us again. Tara's lies have caught up with her just as Sam said they would.
Yep.
Arlene, Terry, baby Mike. And my love of Terry is growing leaps and bounds.
I know.
Todd Lowe, I always found annoying in Gilmore Girls. But as Terry, I love, love, love him. His damage, his awareness of it, and his ability to use what he learned in his PTSD treatments to handle other crises are just amazing. He has 100% faith in his family, his love for them, and that they are good, even baby Mike.
I know.
I wish Arlene had more confidence in her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Portia, incest is only taboo because, wow, desperate much?
I
is
know.
Is the dating pool that small? Is Shreveport that far away or wherever Allseed is hanging out these
That's
days?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, God. Bill, cold-hearted bastard. What a power trip to take Portia's confidence away and replace it with fear for him. Bill is losing his humanity just as Eric is discovering his.
Mm-hmm.
Pam.
Good observation.
Yeah, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, you fuck with my face and you have to die. I love how she added your majesty in her half-assed polite tone of voice at the end of her monologue.
Yeah, she did.
That was good. Eric, I would never hurt something as beautiful as you.
I know.
Sookie, shag him already. Sister K, were you waiting for the shower scene from the book? I don't remember the shower scene, but it sounds good. I gotta go back and read it.
Mm-mm.
Sookie, why does she not sleep with the shotgun in her bed?
Mm-mm.
I love Sookie when her wheels are turning. Old investigative Sookie is back. Her manipulative way of getting Holly to think about the witches.
That was good.
Going to visit Marnie. When my grand tells me to run, I run. Her brains are back.
Yeah.
Jason, everything bad that happened to me is because of sex. And the best, worst nightmare ever. I laugh my ass off at that.
Mm.
Reverend Daniels and Letty Mae. It's Mrs. Daniels. Arlene, as always, sticking her foot in her mouth. I want to thank you people for using your gifts to help us. Oh, my. Can that woman not be trained? Marnie, and the idea that the Inquisition or a portion of them was run by vampires. And Cocky Bill, oh, I was thinking during that scene that he was going to get the punishment that Sister J thinks he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Darn. All seed and stringy-haired dude. Oh, wait, he has a name. Marcus, the pack leader of Streetport. I think Marcus will be dead soon. And will All Seed get a new job as pack leader?
Could be.
She says, oh, man, if Bill interrupts Sookie, Eric, Nookie, I'm gonna be even more pissed at him. But if he arrives afterward, when they still have the glow and his heart is broken in a million pieces, that would be justice.
Oh, yeah.
Until your next podcast, Nanine.
Thank you, Nanine, for that email. That was great.
That was good. Yeah. We'll see. I bet you he interrupts him, though.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about the fact that maybe what's in Alcide's future is that he has to tangle with this Marcus guy and he becomes pack leader. But somehow I don't think so, because he doesn't like all that stuff. He doesn't all that, you know, group
shit.
We'll see. Yeah. But we'll see. But that's an interesting idea, though.
Okay, our next email is from Samantha.
Hey, Samantha.
She says, hey, sisters. I was cheering Tommy on when he offed his parents last episode.
Me too.
I know that sounds messed up, but hey, they deserved it. I thought Melinda Mickens was going to be redeemed, but once she threatened to kill Tommy over her husband, I knew there was no saving that character.
Yeah.
She and Jolie are right where they need to be now.
Mm-hmm.
Sookie, it's good she listened to her Grant about leaving the moon goddess place, but Grant doesn't know everything. Grant said, don't fall in love with Eric. I don't think she knows what she is talking about with that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in season one, she encouraged Sookie to open her heart to Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Look where that got her. She is a bad judge of character. Because she is dead doesn't make her psychic. She doesn't know for sure that loving Eric is bad.
Mm-hmm.
His memory loss may be temporary, but that doesn't mean he will go back to his old ways. I like that Sookie is falling hard for Eric. It's always so obvious to me that she was attracted to him early on.
Exactly.
The fact that she had those dreams about him in season two was sort of against her control, but her subconscious mind saw him as gentle and vulnerable, similar to how he is now. This is her fantasy of how Eric would be around her, and now she is getting that wish.
That's a good point.
Eric, if you're listening, just know that anytime you have a bad dream, good dream, or in-between dream, let me know. I'll handle that. Forget Sookie. Hello. I am loving this whole baby doll mystery. I think Arlene opened herself up to bad juju when she was out in the woods with that witch Holly.
Absolutely.
She had bad intentions of aborting the baby, and the spirit world was upset.
Absolutely.
Who knows? I'm really looking forward to finding out. I'm also awaiting Debbie Pelt's meltdown. She is going to get jealous of Alcide helping Sookie. You know Sookie is going to need help, need him again.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie's multiple personality is going to come out. Cannot wait. Well, keep up the good work with the podcast. It's the best True Blood podcast out there. P.S. The funniest thing I think I ever heard was your commentary on True Blood fan number two. I was literally on the floor laughing. I could hardly breathe. I recommend everyone go back and listen to that again. I laughed off 10 pounds on that one. Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes when we just get like on something, we just, I mean, you know, we're just talking, so we don't really know that, you know, we're being funny or clever or whatever. We just, you know, talking, so. But, hey, we meant that shit about True Blood fan number two, though.
We sure did.
Yeah, we meant that shit. Okay.
Our next email is from Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn.
She says, I'll have you know that that was my very first iTunes review, and I meant every word about how entertaining and enjoyable I found your podcast. Because
cool.
I wrote her back
after
that review. I have to tell you that I was listening today at work to another podcast who shall remain nameless. And as I listened to them bitch and complain, I finally had to ask myself why in the hell I was even listening to their stupid opinions. As soon as I got home, I went to my iTunes and unsubscribed from their podcast. Enough was enough. So now it is just the sisters and one other podcast with fangals, Mel and Liz, on my iPod. I guess it's trueblood.net is the other podcast.
Cool.
So looking forward to more Sookie and Eric action next Sunday, Marilyn.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you, Marilyn.
For that email and that compliment.
We
love it. We just want to be, you know, entertaining and have fun because we think it's fun.
It is fun.
I mean, why spend a whole hour complaining about a show?
Well, we do.
Well, no. But we complain about certain aspects of the show. But why make a podcast for you to complain about the show? Because it's not like the book, or it is like the book, or whatever the case is. Why watch the thing then?
everyone has their right to their own, to podcast the way they want to.
I know about that. I know about
the First Amendment. They can podcast what they want to podcast. And if they, you know, it's up to everyone to decide whether they want to listen to that or not.
I know.
And I'm sure they have a ton of listeners, too, that like that kind of thing.
Mm.
I don't want to bash nobody else because we ain't perfect.
No, we're not perfect, but I know what she's talking about because I don't listen to the other shit.
Okay.
For that same reason, no. Okay. Because I want to be entertained.
Okay, we got you. We got you.
Anyway, all right, come on.
Okay, our next one is from Mikey.
Hey, Mikey.
Hi, sisters. Your most recent podcast was great as always. Love hearing your thoughts on the episode and on listener feedback. A few thoughts on episode 5. I love Pam more and more each week. She is in top form this season.
She is.
How funny was it when Jason said to Hoyt, Jason Stackhouse, you have fucked too many hot women. Now it's, let's see how you like it.
I know.
When he was talking like he was God.
Yeah.
I can't believe Sookie and Eric kissed. Crazy. It's about time, right?
Yep.
Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the next podcast. Keep up the amazing work, sisters. Mikey.
Thank you, Mikey, for that email. And yeah, I am so glad that Sookie finally kissed the man. I mean, dang, come on.
I know.
You know? And he's been so...
Shit, I don't know how she kept from kissing him in the bed.
I know what. Oh, but wait a minute. And that reminds me, one thing I didn't mention, and that is when he was having his little bad dream, and he got out of his cubby and was walking up to Sookie's room, did you notice his pants? They was almost down. You could see, like...
That's how people wear their pants on their...
Well,
but, like their little lower hip bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could tell that them are some Lafayette clothes or something, or Jason clothes, because them ain't his clothes. Because remember, she found them clothes somewhere...
I don't know.
In the house.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah, because they are not good clothes.
No, they're not.
And they don't fit him well either.
No.
Okay.
He's almost bordering on too skinny, though.
I don't think so.
Hopefully he doesn't get any skinnier because he's already thin.
I don't think he's too skinny.
I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Our next email is from Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Or the other Mrs. Northman.
No, just Sarah.
Hello, sisters. I'll keep it short due to still being in swoon shock from my tall glass of Swedish milk, Eric kissing Sookie. Letty Mae Daniels with the tambourine for the win. Hilarious.
I know.
I've been singing God Set Out and The Devil Done Gone all week.
Everybody's been singing that. Everybody's been singing
that. God Set Out and The Devil Done Gone. God Set Out and The Devil Done Gone. God Set Out and The Devil Done Gone. Devil jumped up and he ran out the door. Devil, God said he ain't coming here no more. Or something. I love it. I gotta go back and figure out what that last line
is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and look. Yeah.
Now bring back Ruby Jean, my second favorite True Blood character behind Eric.
I know it.
I understand Bill thinks he needs to glamour Portia, but does he have to humiliate her by having her scream when she sees him?
Yep.
Typical Bill.
Yep.
Eric and Sookie. This Eric obsessed viewer loved every second. Of course, here comes Queen Bill to C-block my Eric.
Ooh!
Cock block. Notice that before they kissed, Sookie bared her neck to Eric, and he didn't bite her.
No.
I don't believe for one second my Pam would ever give up Eric's secret, to mm-hmm. Bill no less.
Mm-hmm.
Just a cheap ploy to get Bill to interrupt the hot nookie next door.
Yeah.
Though when he gets there, he should take a moment to see how a real man does it.
Ooh!
Woo-hoo-hoo! Thank goodness that brainless lump of muscle all seed was barely on.
What?
Oh, well, wait a minute now. I'm not happy about another storyline being added when the show's already jam-packed. And
it is.
Shut up, Tara. Mm. All the best, sisters. As always, Mrs. Northman.
Thank
Sister,
you.
Wait, she says, Sister J, Eric says your divorce papers have been signed and he is mine. She gotcha.
But you know what? That's all right. But see, as any adult would tell you, most of the time when couples divorce, the husband still comes back around.
Oh, see, that's
mm-hmm,
wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why you are not liking All Seed. Now, I will say,
I know why.
His storyline has not been great yet this season, but he looking good to me.
But I know why, and that is, you know, I'm kind of with her. I mean, he is a very nice-looking man, but, I mean, he's not no Eric.
No.
You know, so, yeah, I can see that.
Okay, our next... email is, I think it's our last email.
Okay.
It's from, who is it from? Tina.
Hey, Tina.
Sorry, I had to scroll down. Sisters, hookers, where y'all been?
Hookers.
I've been going through some serious withdrawal, feeling like a V addict, wondering where my sister cousin's been hiding.
Oh, Lord.
I drove past Hot Shot and Bon Temp and didn't see you. Where y'all been hiding?
Oh, Lord. So, sister cousins. I like that.
So, ladies, some time has passed since we last spoke. I'll fix that. I've been listening to Sister Speak to everything to keep me occupied. I have missed you ladies and your jovial conversation. Earlier this year, I even had a mini panic attack thinking there was some vast right-wing conspiracy to hold my sisters down and prevent you guys from broadcasting.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I was about to launch an iTunes and YouTube campaign to bring you back. Luckily, you guys came back just in time. Mm-hmm. I am so excited about this new season of True Blood, and thanks to Sister K, I actually started reading the books, kind of. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I listened to the books via audio CDs and MP3 downloads.
Cool.
Like I said, I'm in school, and I already have much to read. If they had these books on audio, I'd listen to those, too.
I like audiobooks.
Tara, Vampire Lesbian Slayer. Tara, ooh, girl, I am so loving the new hairstyle. Sister K, I don't think you discussed the attributes of Tara's newest hairstyle. It's nice. Healthy looking. Is that Milky Way or Remy Velvet in color 1B? I think it's Remy Velvet.
It's Remy Velvet, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I love the lesbian angle for Tara. I don't think it's so much about her running to a woman because of trauma, as some have suggested. I think Alan Ball is just showing the fluidity of her sexuality. Tara wants to change, wants to love, and she found someone who loved her. Mm-hmm. Either way, she's a badass. Mm-hmm. But Tara, lying about one's name is problematic. What world is she living in?
Mm-hmm.
Letty Mae. Look at Sister Girl with her Fashion Fair 1983 makeover. Dionne Carroll. Isn't her name
Diane?
Diane Carroll. Dynasty Collection makeover. Mm. In the words of RuPaul, you better work. Letty Mae must have a vision board at home. Positive affirmations. She said she was going to be a preacher's wife, and she shown up is. Mm-hmm. Magic must run in that family. These folks are turning people out left and right. But why does she still look like she's hitting that bottle? I love her snuffing the house. As if. What is this Tammy Faye for color girls? By the way, wait until Letty Mae finds out that Tara has a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Remember the woman of Brewster Place? Mm-hmm. I see y'all. Mm-hmm. Terry and Allseed. I'm not saying your baby is a demon, but he's not an angel. Mm-hmm. Run. P.S. Why the heck would you give your doll that bubonic, your baby that bubonic plague doll? Hell, I don't remember the first season when Lafayette did the AIDS burger monologue. I need somebody to do it. Why the hell did you bring that nasty, contaminated post-911 ghetto heaven baby Chucky doll in there? Nasty. Sister J, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pam, hookah, don't you know loose lips sink ships? Duh, no snitching.
Yeah.
Yeah, she showed
it.
That was
bad. That was bad.
Marnie. You gotta watch those quiet, homely-looking types. I see them all the time in graduate school, Woo! And those are the types to incite riots, take over buildings, lead sit-ins, and then when you're in jail, walk on by and say, "What happened?" Watch your back.
Oh, that's funny.
Sam and Tommy. Aw, ain't nothing like some brotherly bonding over murder. Quote unquote Menendez brothers.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Tommy is coming into his own. See what a little book learning can do? I wonder if Maxine had Tommy watching Reading Rainbow or The Electric Company.
Oh, Lord.
Haters and such. So I listened to the old podcast of True Blood Love 2, Lover 2, and let me just say, you can talk about Tara, Sookie, and even Alcide, but nobody better talk shit about my sisters. There are plenty of other shows for you to berate. Don't make me take my earrings off. Well, sisters, just getting off the road. Can't wait to catch up each week with you guys. Tina, a.k.a. I Heart Lafayette.
Oh, thank you, Tina, for that wonderful email. We appreciate it. We are so glad.
And you are right. Letty Mae was made of a tad too
oh,
much.
Oh, yeah. That's that fashion fair for show.
For yeah. show.
For show.
My hope for show.
Okay. What else we got?
Okay. Then we have a couple of iTunes reviews.
Okay, cool.
This one is from CIV or CLV.
Okay.
I absolutely love listening to the sisters go through each episode of True Blood. Their conversation enhances my enjoyment of the episode and make me laugh and laugh and laugh. Keep it up, sisters. Best True Blood podcast, 5 stars.
Thank you so much for that 5-star rating.
The next one is from Stitchy Chick.
Stitchy Chick.
Stitchy.
You are messing up stuff. Are you sure?
Stitchy Chick.
Oh, it is Stitchy Chick.
Okay. Love it. 5 stars. I listen to other True Blood podcasts, but this one is definitely the best one. It is so much fun. I can't wait to hear what the sisters have to say about each episode. I listen to each podcast over and over again because the sisters make me laugh. Never gets old. Keep up the good work, ladies. Stitchy Chick.
Thank you, Stitchy Chick.
Thank you.
Oh, so we appreciate it, though. We do appreciate it very much.
And the last one for this week is titled Love, 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 5 Stars by Joy of Lost.
Oh, Joy
Thanks,
of Lost.
Thanks, sisters, for such an entertaining podcast. This was the first time I've listened, and you had me in stitches. Your review of the episode is so funny, and although I don't hate on Sookie as much as y'all, and I'm still on Team Bill, I still enjoy your take on the show. Mm-hmm. My only complaint is that I wish I could get the show sooner in the week. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. Just saw episode 4. I may be leaving Team Bill for Team All Seed. So hot. Yes, he is, girl. Woo! I was on the edge of my seat wondering how low his pants would go. Hello! That's what I said! That is exactly what I said.
They were going low, though.
They was low. Eric was good eye candy, too, and so sweet. And that was from Joy of Lost. 5 stars.
Thank you so much, Joy, for that wonderful review. And, yeah, we agree with your Alcide and Eric comments. Yeah, they was looking good.
Especially me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we thank y'all so much for giving us some good iTunes ratings.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that is it. I believe that's all the feedback we received. We have a ton of feedback on Facebook, which we don't have time to go through on the podcast, but we love being able to read all the emails and feedback and comments.
And as y'all have noticed here lately, I am trying to answer y'all's little Facebook stuff.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. So, and I do try to remember to put, it's Sister J on it, so... Anyway,
okay,
so thank y'all.
If you would like to send us some feedback, please do so at sisterspeak@gmail.com. We also have a voicemail line at 972-692-7341. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/sisterspeakpodcast. Mm-hmm. And we're both on Twitter at _SisterJ and _SisterK.
Yep.
And our website is sisterinreview.com.
Yes.
That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.